Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast in which we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the media business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. The sports world will converge on Phoenix next Sunday for the Super Bowl. And though it may be Fox in the broadcast booth for the big game, another brand will make its presence known there in its own distinctive way, Barstool Sports. With the company expected to finalize its sale to casino owner Penn Entertainment later this month, it's a good time to check in on the state of the business with its CEO, Erica Ayers. We'll be back with her in just a moment.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome back to the podcast. Erica Ayers, CEO of Barstool Sports. She was first on Strictly Business back in October of 2019. And Erica, I remember then feeling as if I still had to explain the Barstool brand to those who might not have been fans, but not this time around, which isn't to say everyone in the world is a Barstool fan, but I feel like it's big enough where everyone should know by now, right? I mean, do you, when you look back on these last 3 years, does it feel like an incremental evolution or a quantum leap for the brand?
I think it's probably more the quantum leap. You know, it's funny when I think back to 2016 or 2017, 2018, we were always explaining who Barstool Sports was, what did we do, why did we matter, how did we exist. And more often than not these days, people, you know us before we walk in the door. And, you know, when I got to Barstool originally in 2016, I was just trying to get us out of the Northeast corridor. Like the idea that someone in the middle of the country or in California knew about Barstool Sports was slim to none. Right. And now you not only see us all across this country, you're starting to see us in other countries. So I would say that the brand growth has been intense.
And to say that these last 3 years in change, it feels almost like a century in Barstool years. But back then, Erica, sports gambling was not part of the Barstool game plan. And yet I want to play for you the very last question I asked you in that interview because it was very telling. Just hang on a moment.
Where else are you guys going to go that we need to pay attention to going into 2020?
You need to pay attention to sports betting. So I think that we will be a force in sports betting, in the type of content we create, in the way we create it, in the level of passion and originality in what we do. So sports betting is a place you should definitely look out for us.
So there it was. You knew gambling was coming. I'm just curious, back then, was Penn even on the horizon? Like, what did you know about the gambling future of Barstool back in late 2019?
It's so funny that that was your question. I mean, it's like, what did you know? you know, I knew that we had very passionate gamblers in the house. I watched them gamble all the time. I watched them talk about gambling. You know, in 2019, we were starting to see everyone be ready for sports betting, right? The fantasy companies were building their databases really aggressively. That at the time was FanDuel and DraftKings. We were starting to see advertising become, gambling advertising or fantasy advertising really at the time become a major ad category for us. And the way that the sports, you know, at that point, the fantasy companies, let's call them, the way they were vying for our audience was extremely telling. So, you know, we were always very hopeful that sports betting and PASPA would be repealed and sports betting would be legal, because we knew that the way we talked about sports, the way we covered the sports, the way we had sports gamblers in our house and in our midst was really, really different than how most traditional companies, we knew that that was very, very different than how most traditional companies were going to approach this space. So, you know, even back to 2019, I think our hope was that we would be acquired by a gambling company or a sports betting company. And, you know, flash forward to 2023, that's about to be true.
And the acquisition by Penn first happened in 2020, right? I think about 36% of the company they took at
That's
that
exactly
time.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now it's $550 million later. They're going to scoop up the rest. So is Barstool a fundamentally different property under Penn Entertainment? What is the Penn influence here? How does it change your game plan?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's 650, so you can add $100 million to that.
I'm sorry.
But I think, you know, what Penn is interested in, and, you know, frankly, most sports betting companies are interested in, are audience, right? They're looking for an addressable market. They're looking for an addressable market that exists across a wide swath of states, because sports betting is still managed on a state-by-state basis. What Barstool has in spades is that audience, right? We have 200 million fans. We're growing fans in different states, in different sectors, who are passionate about different personalities and different types of content on different platforms. So what's exciting about Penn, and what's really great about this partnership, is that Penn recognizes the value that Barstool brings. And the value that we bring is really as a dynamic sports media and entertainment company that makes a robust and very broad swath of content, a large, you know, We cover a lot of brands. We have 80 brands in this house. We have over 100 personalities. So we talk about a lot in a lot of places, a lot of time. The second thing is the way we've talked about sports betting is to make it very conversational and to really make sports betting and, you know, organic and an authentic and an integrated part of what we do. And, you know, for the most part, they've really let us do that. There's been things we've had to change. There's guardrails we've had to put up. There's processes we've needed to put into place. But, you know, the vision of, you know, what Penn wants and the vision that Dave and I had for the business are really very closely aligned.
And Dave, of course, is the famous Dave Portnoy, founder of Barstool 20 years ago this year. It's amazing to think it's been 20 years. A controversial figure. I think he has been, I'd say, the best salesman for sports betting, but it hasn't been without controversy. You guys have run into some bumps in the road in Massachusetts where there was a suitability preview, a review, I should say, and in Ohio, an advertising violation. Is this just sort of, you know, at its par for the course? This is how it is getting into an interesting new marketplace like this? Or is Dave Portnoy going to complicate this for you every new state you get into?
No, you know, look, sports betting is in really early innings here, to use a sports analogy. Like, it's not national, right? As I mentioned, it's on a state-by-state basis. Every state has, you know, different tax rates, different rules and regulations, different processes, different preferences. I think part, you know, for Barstool, getting into a highly regulated business was a big, you know, big change for us, big transformation. We were ready for that. We stepped up to the plate for that. And I would say, by and large, we're doing a very, very good job of that. Like anyone, we trip, we mess up, we correct those mistakes and we move on. You know, Dave is arguably one of, if not the most influential person on the internet. He is insanely prolific. He covers what's happening on TikTok in one of the biggest shows on the internet. He's also reviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of pizza places in this country. So he has great range himself. I think Dave, you know, is an incredible force of nature. He's been a force of nature in making Barstool Sports relevant and hot for 20 years, which, you know, and in the era of media and the era of brands and influencers, to have that kind of staying power is pretty incredible. And, you know, I think the last thing I would say to your question is, you know, Barstool is also bigger than Dave. You know, when Dave launched Barstool Sports, Dave could have launched DavePortnoy.com and it could have been just about what he had to say, how he had to say it, what his takes and opinions were, the type of content he wanted to make. He didn't choose that path, right? He chose to bring other personalities along with him, even from the very beginning, you know, when Barstool was just a newspaper. And now we've grown really exponentially. So you look at $1 million worth of game, which is hosted by two gentlemen in Philadelphia, the way they talk about sports betting, the way they talk about culture, the way they talk about music, and the way Dave thinks about things couldn't be more diametric. But that's also what makes Barstool Sports so captivating. It's also what makes us so confounding, because it is so many different things at once.
Well, I think a lot of your personalities will be on the ground in Phoenix this weekend. Talk about what you guys are doing at the Super Bowl. It's a lot of different things, but sounds like you're going to make your mark.
Yeah, it's a great question, Andrew. So, and I think it really puts a pin in what we're talking about, right? So we're descending on the Super Bowl on Phoenix today. We've got some Chiefs fans, not really. We've got a whole rowdy bunch of Eagles fans. The biggest thing we're doing is a mini golf tournament, right? Which is probably not what you would expect from a media company or a sports company covering the Super Bowl.
No.
We're going to cover a mini golf event the way people are covering the Waste Management Open, which is happening right down the street from the Super Bowl. We're also having a massive trivia night. So we have a brand called The Dozen, which is one of our newest, but really a vibrant trivia brand where all sorts of Barstool personalities compete. They rib each other. They're cutthroat with one another, but we're doing trivia at our bar in Scottsdale, which is called the Barstool Bar. So I think the things that we're doing that are very different are that we're covering everything from trivia nights to mini golf. We're having a pickleball tournament with Pardon My Take, which is the number one sports podcast. We're doing live radio with Bussin' with the Boys. So we're bringing all sorts of characters and personalities into environments and experiences, which I think are really fresh and unique. My experience with the Super Bowl is it's quite traditional, right? You go to the Super Bowl, all the media line up in desks on Radio Row. People get funneled through Radio Row. Everybody's promoting whatever product they were hired or sent to the Super Bowl to create. And it's kind of like rinse and repeat. There's a big party with a lot of big talent. We think about things totally differently, which is, what is it that young audiences or millennial audiences, what do they care about? What will they think is funny? What are the opinions we want to feature? Who are the personalities we want to pair up with one another to create the most chemistry and the most excitement? And really, no two Super Bowls have been alike for us.
And you're actually having you guys have, I assume prior to the Super Bowl, a Barstool branded sports bar in Phoenix.
Yes, that's right.
And there's more than one of these around the country.
There are. Yeah. So we have bars in Philadelphia. We have a sports bar in Chicago on River North. We're building a sports bar right now in Nashville. We opened Scottsdale in November. It's been insane. There's lines across the block. So, you know, I think it's a really good example. I think it's a really good example of when you have a brand that means something and stands for something, how that brand takes shape can be unlimited, so long as you're purposeful and you have integrity to what you stand for, who you serve, and how you do it. And, you know, in the case of our sports bars, you know, they're run by a great operating partner that we work with. They look like Barstool. They feel like Barstool. They're a great place to watch the game. We're there doing trivia or streaming the game itself. We're doing our, you know, live streaming shows from that bar. So we put it into the center of our ecosystem. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes Barstool really different. We've launched, you know, one of the top flavored vodkas in the world, because we think about products, we think about places, we think about experiences, and we think about content in the same machine almost.
That's definitely unique. Not a lot of businesses out there doing it quite like that. And I want to go back to what you were saying just about sort of coverage of sports, because there's been a number of events in recent months where you guys have functioned kind of almost like a traditional, though very not traditional, rights holder in terms of covering the event. So tell me about some of the things you've done and how you've done it differently.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, just thinking back to when we spoke in 2019, like, I would never have said out loud our hope and the dream to be able to broadcast live sports. You would have laughed me off of the podcast. No one would have taken us seriously in that. But in fact, that's exactly where we are, which is, and this is really what I love about Barstool Sports, is that we are not afraid to try things. I think media sometimes rests on tradition and rules and the established way of quote unquote doing things. And we just don't believe in that. And because no one really ever wanted to help Barstool Sports and we were kind of left on our own, we emphasize figuring stuff out for ourselves. So, you know, we did it with, we had a college basketball doubleheader in November in Pennsylvania called the Barstool Invitational. We broadcast and sponsored the Arizona Bowl, which was a college football game between Wyoming and Ohio University. Both were massive, massive successes for us in that we had, you know, hundreds of thousands of concurrent viewers, which translates into millions and millions of views. They were comedic, they were funny, but we also covered sports in a way that your traditional sports viewer still got the game that they're used to seeing. And what I really believe is the infusion of comedy and entertainment and in a broadcast experience of a live sporting experience, that's going to be the future. And I really see us at the forefront of that. And hopefully, look, you and I will be talking in another 4 years and you'll be like, wow, now you're broadcasting football, you're broadcasting college sports. Like, I think that's the tip of where we're going.
I love the ambition, but you know very well the barrier to entry for rights to, you know, college football or pro sports is obscene. Could we really get to a place where Barstool is going to be bidding for, you know, top shelf sports entertainment?
I wouldn't say I agree with you. It is obscene. And in some ways, the business model is very broken, right? You know, most companies that take a big flyer on live sports, live rights are taking a bath on the economics. Now, today, could we compete for, you know, college football rights? Obviously, we're never getting NFL rights. College basketball, NBA, probably not. But that's also, you know, I think the world in 5 years from now is going to look really different. I also really believe, you know, I think we're in an era of, you know, if you think about social media, it's for you, right? You go to Twitter now, you used to go to Twitter and now you go for you and who you're following. When you go to TikTok, it's personalized. Your Discover page is algorithmically personalized for you. I think sports will be somewhat of the same thing, right? You see Amazon playing with this now, which is, hey, I may want to watch an NFL game, but I want to listen to the Mannings, right? I want to listen to the game in Spanish with particular commenters. Why couldn't Barstool Sports play in that world? And I think that's more so where you're going to see things go. And then look, over time, you know, I think the other piece that makes Barstool so captivating is, you know, when you looked at the Arizona Bowl, you know, we did not have Ohio State and Michigan. We had Wyoming and Ohio University, but it was an electric overtime game. And there's something about the uncertainty and the drama and the excitement of live sports and the humor and relevance and kind of it factor that we bring, where it doesn't have to be top shelf to be interesting. And, you know, that's what I think is interesting as part of this.
Well, what also strikes me when you say that is why not just have Barstool invent a sport of its own or a tournament of its own, similar to, say, you know, Overtime is a company out there that's sort of blazing its own path. Is that something you guys would think about?
Maybe, you know, I think Overtime is really interesting. I think Overtime is very smart in the way they're looking to create leagues, you know, the way they're creating their own league in Atlanta, to be honest with you, I think is super interesting.
Yeah.
I also think it's very labor intensive. It's insanely physical and it's kind of finite. And we have a little bit of a different ethos, which is we're not going to commit to one sport or one set of player or one set of teams. This is almost like the ultimate ADHD company, which is we're flying all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, where we'll stay.
Well, but you say that with like a, you know, a badge of pride, but couldn't I criticize and say, guys, get some focus here?
I mean, you could, but we're the fastest growing brand on TikTok. I think to actually be successful right now, you have to have ADHD.
In a moment, we'll be back with more with Barstool Sports CEO Erica Ayers. Stick around.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
We are back with the CEO of Barstool Sports. And, you know, Barstool now is a brand that I think has earned the right through its growth over the years to be mentioned in the same breath as more established sports brands, ESPN, Fox Sports, The Athletic. When you look at your competition, how do they deal with sports betting? Because it's so central to what you're doing. It's clearly something that is becoming bigger and bigger for them. Are you, though, zagging in a way to their zig? And what is that?
It's a great question and a complicated one, because there's really no one-size-fits-all approach. The way I see the world is you have the daily fantasy slash sports betting companies, let's say like a DraftKings. They're trying to build their own media brands, right? So DraftKings is invested in Meadowlark. Meadowlark has, you know, built a bunch of personalities. You know, they have Lebatard, et cetera, where they're trying to build media as a bolt-on to their sports betting company. So there's one approach where the betting companies are becoming media companies. That is a long road and an extremely expensive road. And it, as you know, it's hard to grow brands, and it's hard to command attention and have to convert that attention into transaction in a fairly low amount of time, or a fairly quick amount of time. So that's one flavor. The second flavor is you have, you know, the FanDuels, who are just signing influencers, which you could say is a flavor of the same thing. Pat McAfee, who is at Barstool Sports, wildly, wildly talented. He's on ESPN. He does work with the WWE, and he also has his own flagship shows. He's a FanDuel guy, and he's going to promote and champion FanDuel in everything that he does. The third variety is really, if you look at, you know, if you look at Fox and what Fox was trying to do with FoxBet, Fox is like, okay, we'll do, you know, we'll sign up with an exclusive partner. We'll embed sports betting into what we're doing. We'll have a stake in that business, and we'll get a, you know, we'll get a VIG, or we'll get some incentive on the economics. But it's very traditional, and it's all expressed through really TV viewing and live sports. And then you have us, where we're kind of doing all of those things, to your point, with varying degrees of commitment, I would say, and that we're experimenting here, we're experimenting there. How do we make sports betting conversational? How do we appeal to urban audiences around sports betting via two highly captivating Black men? How do we think about sports betting as we talk about college football? How do we think about sports betting in strictly creating betting only or betting specific shows? How do we create drama amongst our personalities based on their bets or based on who their allegiance is from a team perspective? So I think it's very early in terms of how this is all going to shake out. I think the traditional companies, traditional broadcast companies, it remains to be seen how successful that's going to be. The bet is obviously tonnage, right? That you can get so many impressions, you can get so many views to a call to action to bet somewhere. I think the digital companies, the question is, can you convert disparate audiences on disparate platforms? Can you convert them to be sports bettors and to be loyal to the sports betting platform? Obviously, Disney and ESPN is like the elephant in the room of the big question of, you know, will Disney allow sports betting and will ESPN pick a betting partner? And I think if and when that happens, that's really a watershed moment for the trajectory of sports betting as well as the kind of the acceptance of sports betting. So I realize that's super long-winded, but I think it's, you know, there's different approaches with different types of partners with varying degrees of success, with everyone acknowledging it's early days.
But is it winner takes all? Is there going to be one dominant brand, or is there more than enough to go around for multiple winners?
I don't think it's going to be winner takes all. I think it's like credit cards. Like you're going to maybe prefer American Express, but you also have a Chase card and you might also have a, you know, a Visa card or a Discover card. Like I think there will be some consolidation. I think there's too many players right now in the space, but I don't think it's going to be one player by any shape of the imagination.
Let's take a step back and just sort of put Barstool in, let's say, the macroeconomic reality of what's going on right now. You know, economy not in the greatest place, digital advertising not as high growth as it used to be, and, you know, other digital native brands like yourself, you know, Vice, BuzzFeed seem to be in, frankly, worlds of pain. So how do you guys avoid worlds of pain? Is it a stressful struggle time given the challenges in this macro environment?
Yeah, great question. This job is for sure stressful. Some of it self-inflicted and some of it not. In a lot of ways, we are like the last of the Mohicans. Like, I think digital media really has lost its way. I was lucky in the beginning of my career. The internet was just starting and digital brands were just burgeoning and everything was upside. It was all upside. But what you've seen is that, you know, I think a lot of digital publishers lost their power to Facebook and Google when they started to give their content on terms that they didn't control, for economics that they didn't control, with no certainty, with very little guarantee. And, you know, ultimately, you know, the social networks took what they took and the publishers were left with what they had. I also think, you know, television is in a tough spot just because of attrition and, you know, the massive reduction of lines of revenue, which falsely probably propped up those businesses. You know, in our business, when I got to Barstool Sports, we didn't have a whole lot of money in the bank and we didn't have a whole lot of certainty about where the business would go or what it could become or what it would do. And I was just frankly worried about payroll. And so as a result, we built a business that was pretty diverse, right? We built an advertising business and we built a commerce business. And the reason I wanted the two businesses is when the advertisers got a little nervous or the advertisers started to walk away or the economy started to soften, I could always turn to another line of business to cover our expenses and make payroll. So it wasn't rocket science, but it did enable me to ride a couple different horses at different times for different reasons. And it helped shore up the business. So, you know, overall, what I would say is I think we will buck a lot of the trends, softness in advertising, macro economy. We won't be immune to them. We're big enough now where we couldn't be immune to them. But one is we have a brand that stands for something and that people love. The minute that Barstool isn't loved and hated and talked about and you know, overanalyzed. And the minute we lose that, we're going to be in the same boat as everybody else. So the single most important thing we can do is to keep this brand resonant and relevant. The second thing is I like diversity. I like diversity of business models, diversity of thought, diversity of perspective, diversity of talent. And we will always have multiple lines of business that support this company, whether it's licensing businesses, advertising businesses, commerce businesses, live event businesses, pay-per-view businesses, subscription businesses, et cetera. And so long as we can, you know, as so long as we can continue those, we should be in good shape. And then the last thing is we just perform, you know, as the world becomes more digital and things become more quantifiable, whether or not you move the needle for an ad partner or a consumer brand or a partner, it's easier to find out and track and measure. And we tend to perform and track and measure very, very well.
Speaking of our digital world, brands like your own, big and small, are looking ahead to sort of the next big trends, the metaverse, NFTs, artificial and generative AI, I should say, where, you know, you could conceivably have computers or software pumping out content. Are you looking ahead to these things?
No, not really. I think that, you know, when the metaverse arrives, we will do just fine in the metaverse because we understand how to make our brands work in many, many different environments. What Barstool Sports is, what we look like, what we feature, how we do it, when we do it, why we do it on Snapchat is totally different than TikTok, is totally different than Twitter, is totally different than podcasts, totally different than YouTube. When the metaverse shows up at scale, we'll be ready to engage. I don't know that it behooves us to go figure it out first. I think we would spend a lot of energy on that with not a lot of return. We're not the people to go figure out necessarily the next frontier. But what we are the people to do is when the frontier is here and it looks like there's some amount of scale, we're ready to engage. It's kind of like Clubhouse. Like, I don't know if you were a big Clubhouse guy, but
for a minute, like everyone else.
For a minute, right. So everyone was like, hey, you got to get Dave in a Clubhouse. You got to get Dave in a Clubhouse. Dave should Clubhouse. And I was like, it was capped at like, maybe it was 5,000 or 500. I can't remember. There was a cap at how many people could be in the room. And I was like, Dave Portnoy is going to bring 150,000 people to this, not 500 people. So we'll hold off and we'll show up when there's a Clubhouse for 150,000 fans, not 500 fans. So I use that example not to say the future isn't coming. AI is going to be a huge force in media and in content creation. The metaverse is real. People will start living rich, robust, you know, virtual lives with currency experiences in those lives. What I'm saying is we'll show up once we understand it and once it looks to be something that will scale.
And look, it's not like you guys don't have enough irons in the fire. Yeah. You know,
yeah, we're busy.
We've covered a lot of ground. You know, we're talking about video views, podcast downloads, merchandise, events, betting. I'm just curious, though, about the mix here. I think when we spoke, you know, 3+ years ago, podcasts was very front and center. It felt like that was where. So what's the shift like in terms of, you know, you've got a lot going here, but I want to know what's sort of front and center.
Yeah, I was interviewing a candidate this morning and I was explaining to her that what's made Barstool so great from a business point of view is that we've had to break ourselves 5 or 6 times over. When I got to Barstool, you know, the Chernin guys were awesome, but they were like, hey, we think that you'll do like $25 million in revenue by 2024. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. I was like, I'm not sure we'll be able to do that. We did $25 million in revenue in like 16 months. And my point of sharing that is that we've had to break ourselves several times over because the people, the way we did things, what we did at $5 million was different than what we did at $25 million, which was different at 50, which was different at 100, which was different at 150, and on we go. So our biggest challenge and the greatest thing in front of us is continuing to break ourselves so that we are super relevant, that we're insanely efficient, and that we're making content that connects with people, makes them laugh, makes them feel something, entertains them the way the world looks right now. So when we talked, podcasting was like the name of the game, and we were so early on podcasting. It was free. It was easy to produce. It was simple to distribute. It was easy to monetize. Now, it's not that I would say podcasting is dead, but the mentality, at least inside of Barstool Sports, that you're going to press play, record your audio only show, press stop, edit it, and produce one piece of content is over. And what we're thinking about now is, as we make content, if it's an hour long piece of content, how many 45 second videos are in that? And how many places could we put those 45 second videos or 30 second videos or a minute and a half videos? So I think the future will be, everything is secular, right? Like we'll go to really short form and then it will go back to really long form and then we'll be back to short form. But I think for us, it's about understanding where consumers are, what they want. We've always been a company that's grown in free and publicly available platforms. Like we grow like anybody grows on the internet. And so understanding where people are on the internet, what they're doing and why they care, so long as we need to keep following that. And so long as we do, we'll be successful.
Sounds pretty dizzying, but a lot of fun. And I'm sure you'll be having a lot of fun in Phoenix this weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And thanks for talking to me today.
Great. Thank you, Andrew, so much.
This has been another episode of Strictly Business. Tune in next week for another helping of scintillating conversation with media movers and shakers. And please make sure you subscribe to the podcast to hear future episodes. Also, leave a review in Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.